Nun Zayin Amud Beis, and we're looking for Shisha Dvarim Merapim Esachola Micholio. So let's see if we can find this. You see the lines get wider at some point, and Shishadvaram, it's in my Gemara, it's one line before the wide lines. And when I talk about the wide lines, I mean the bottom wide lines. Shishadvaram Merapim Es Hachola Micholio. So there are six things that cure a sick person from his sickness.
Yeah, I have it.
V'eluhin. Kruv, which is cabbage. Tardin, which is beets. There's something also called tered, which is spinach, but here he's referring to tardin, which is beets. Sisin yeveshim. He says here in the Hebrew that sisin is a min nana. Right? You have these stems, the green stems that are called nana stems, right? You vase them and you dry them. In English, he calls them pennyroyal, which I'm not familiar with. Pennyroyal, but I did hear of nana. Keva is the animal's stomach. Veheres is the rechem shel behema, an animal's womb. V'yoseres ha-koved, which is the diaphragm, he calls it in Hebrew sarafas shel behema. V'yesh omrim af dogim ktanim, small fish. All these are healthy and they cure the illness. V'lo od el shedogim ktanim mafrim, in other words, they help you for a period of arrivia. Umavrim eskol gufo shel odom. So it's interesting, he only adds dogim ktanim as an afterthought in the name of the Yesh Omer, but then he sort of jacks it up to a higher level. It's very healthy for the entire body. Asar dvar machzirin eschole lecholio. So now we're talking about they'll bring the sickness back. So these are not good things. And cholio kasha, it'll be harder and more difficult than it was before. The Elohim. So these are things I guess you want to avoid. They're not very therapeutic. Ha'ochel besar shor. We're talking about meat, like steak meat, I guess. He calls it, 1 second. He calls it the meat of an ox. Basar shomein, fatty meat. Basar tzli, roasted meat. So he's not in favor of
meat.
Meat. Vasa tziporim is poultry. Poultry is supposed to be pretty relatively healthy. It's high protein. Anyway, ubeitza tzluya, roasted egg. Vitiglachas. He writes here in the Hebrew, imchachola misgaleach, if he shaves. Vishachalayim. He says that shachalayim is a min yerek cham v'yavesh v'tam ochad u'moel liftoch ha'ivorim ha'tumim. In English he calls it cress, which I don't know what cress is, but it's some sort, I suppose you have a picture of it there. It's some sort of a vegetable.
I only have pictures of owls. No.
All right. V'chalav u'gvina. V'hamerchatz. So we're talking about milk, cheese, nuts, maybe walnuts.
These are not healthy then.
That's, I don't know, I'm not sure. It's very confusing. Yeah. Omrim af kishuim. How do you say kishuim in English? He has cucumbers, but I know it as something else.
Zucchini.
So I honestly don't understand this whole Gemara here. What can I do? I have to go back to medical school. Anyway, so since we have this opinion at the end of this presentation that kishuim are not healthy, so the Gemara says that we're going to go into kishuim here, describe these cucumbers or zucchini. Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. So we learned to the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel of Braisa, lama nikra shman kishuim. So what's the meaning of the name kishuim? Mipnei shem kashim leguf kecharavos. They're severe to the body as swords. So this is not something that we're familiar with. We're big fans of zucchini, yeah. Right? And zucchini soup. And Eini, is this so? That kishuim are not healthy, they're harmful. Vaksiv, the pasuk says, with regard to Rivka, that when she had tsar iburo, when she was, I guess, with difficult pregnancy, she went to the Beis Medrash of Shame to ask what would be the end, so to speak. Vayomer Hashem la. So she finds out from Hashem, Shnei Goyim v'bitneich, which is Yaakov and Esav, they're going to be born, and they're two nations, Goyim are nations, and that's Yisrael v'Edom. Al tikri Goyim, which means nations, Ela Gayim. Now what is Gayim?
Gayim.
Gayim, okay, not Gayim.
Gayim,
proud ones. Yeah, no, you're right. It's gay. I misread it because the vowels here. So we're talking about gayim, which are proud ones. Now, who are these proud ones that are going to be descendants of Rivka? Amar Rav Yehuda Marav Elu Antinonus, and he'll be from the Zerah of Esav, and Revi is going to be from the Tzetzaim of Yaakov Avinu. And we'll see what it means that these are proud ones. Now the word goyim, which is the way we have it spelled, is also spelled gayim or gayim, right? So gayim is the same spelling as goyim, although goyim here has a vav. Okay, fine. Now who is this fellow by the name of Antoninus. He says he's a Roman emperor. Marcus Antoninus ruled from 161 to 180 CE. In the course of his travels through the empire, he visited Judea. And there he met Rabbi Yehuda Nasi.
They were very good friends.
And they formed a long time, lifelong friendship, which was of great benefit to the Jewish people. Thus the two proud ones were Antoninus, the leader of the Romans, descending from Esav, and Rebbe, the leader of the Jewish people, who descended from Yaakov. That's what we have so far. Now, Rebbe was also quite wealthy, and the Gemara says, Yishal posach mishulchano lo tznon. It's known as a radish. Lo chazeret is horseradish. Lo kishuim. Lo bimos hacham v'lo bimos hakshomim. So this indicates the pride of their wealth, lavish amounts of food for the guests at their table. The food was so plentiful that it was necessary to have these vegetables at hand, which aid in the digestive process. And we see kishuim is on the list. And the Gemara is pointing out that they were wealthy enough to afford these seasonal products, but they can get it the whole year round, which probably means they paid for import. But in any event, since kishuim was served on these royal tables, it's assumed that they would be beneficial for the body and not harmful. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, that this is not a problem. Haba ravarve bahaba zute. So the kinds of kishuim that are harmful are the large ones, but the smaller ones are healthy for the body. Tanra bonon, we learned in a brisa, if a person sees in his dream mace babayis, a dead person in the house, doesn't sound like a very good omen offhand. But yet, to our surprise, shalom babayis, there's going to be peace in the house. Okay. And that's a simon yofel abayis. That's a good simon for the house. He writes here in the footnote, simon hu shekishem shames nanim in abayis, kach achirim yanum in abayis. That since the deceased benefits from the house, I guess it protects his body, so too everyone else, the live people, will also be protected in the house. So it's a good omen for the house. However,
unless you say that maybe base babayis, shalom babayis, it's trying to say that we're relating to the mace who is in the bias, and as a result there is shalom babayis. So it's not as if he dreamt that there was a mace in the bias. Because otherwise it's hard to understand what the relationship is.
Okay. So now he says, "Achal v'shasa b'bayis." If in his dream, I guess he saw that he was eating and drinking in the house, simon yofel b'bayis. That makes sense. It's a good sign for the house. Natal kelim in b'bayis. Now it's not clear to me who took these kelim out. Maybe the mess. The mess, I don't know how the mess could do this, but it took out the kelim. But then again, I don't know who's eating and drinking in the house. Notal kelim in abayis, simon ral abayis. Tirgumar of Papa, or Papa interprets this brisa, notal kelim in abayis, simon ral abayis, be misona visandal, a minol and a sandal. Shayotzim ichutz labayis, those who leave the house, noalim osam al raglehem. So they put on their shoes, they tie their shoes. V'lachein imra shames natlam. If the mess took these kelim, usimon shames motzi imo anoshim achirim ichutz labayis. It must be that he's taking other people out of the house. And this is the interpretation of his dreams.
That's a simon rabbi. Simon rabbi.
So is this a good simon or a bad? It doesn't sound very good.
I think it's a bad one.
This is a bad simon. This is an omen, an ominous omen. Simon rabbi is, and that's because the dead body took a shoe or a sandal. So if he sees that it took a shoe or a sandal, that's a simon that the mess is going to take with him other people from the house. I guess take them to the cemetery.
Right.
But if he sees in his dream that the mess takes other kelim, not the shoes, then that's not a bad omen. And the Gemara adds now, kol deshakil shichvam ma'ali. Anything that the mess takes out of the house in the dream is a good simon, as we said, bar mis mimsana visandala, with the exception of these kinds of shoes and sandals, that's going to be a siman ra, as we saw earlier in the brisa. But kol diyov shichva mali, kol dover shames nasno bechalom. I guess the mess is now putting something into the house. That's a good siman. Barmi afra, except for dust. Why? Because if the mess is bringing dust, then he's implying that other people in the house are going to be buried in the dust. V'chardala, now we're talking about mustard. Shimnasno ames b'chalom, if the mustard was brought in by the dead body in the stream, that's a simon ra l'fishu dak v'domol ofar. So he may be talking not about the mustard that we're familiar with, but the mustard seeds themselves. They look like dirt, like the ground. And all this is a remez l'kvura, that there's going to be burial. Now we said in the Mishnah, Mokom shenekra mimenu avodas gluim, he should make a bracha if he chances upon a place where the idolatry has been uprooted. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brice, haroe markulis, if he sees a deity called Markulis. This is the name of a deity. Omer, he should recite the following. Baruch shenasan erech hapayim li'ovrei ritzono. In other words, blessed be he who, instead of punishing the idol worshippers immediately, he postpones punishment, meaning he tolerates the evil. And this is a shvach l'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu shu erech apayim, even for Shoyim, and God is tolerant even for the evildoers. And he says here, tiknu shivarchu bracha zu al yedei maisa, meaning he doesn't just make this bracha on a regular basis, but he waits until he sees avodah zarah and then he recites the bracha. He adds another footnote here. He says, "Arichus erech apayim nikeres be'avodah zarah she'be'eretz Yisrael, sherehu tziva lakor es kol avodah zarah me'aretz ve'avodah zarah zu kayemes." He says, if you see idols and idolaters in Eretz Yisrael, then you know for sure there's erech apayim, because Hashem commanded us to uproot all avodah zarah from the land of Israel. And if he sees this avodah zarah existing, that's indicative of the fact that Hashem is an erech apayim. He's slow to mete out punishment. Now he quotes here a Beis Yosef in Simon Reishchof Dalid, Shebracha zu mevarech af haroe bayis beso, or bayis shel avodas kochavim. I guess it means he doesn't have to see the actual idol, which is called Markolis, but even if he sees the temple, he should make that bracha. Whereas the Marshal disagrees, and he says this bracha he only recites when he sees the avodah zarah itself, the actual idol that they worship. The fact that he sees the church, or shall we say the temple for idol worship, that's not enough to recite the bracha. Next, Makom shenekra mimenu avodas kochavim, if he sees a place where they uprooted avodas kochavim, Omer, then his bracha is Baruch sha'okar akum me'artzenu, blessed be he who has uprooted idolatry from our land. Ukshem shenekra mimakom ze, now he adds a tefillah bakasha, that just like the idols were uprooted from this place, kein takor te'oker mikol mekomos Yisrael, they should be uprooted from anywhere in the land of Israel. Vashev lev ovdeim liovdecha. And now he adds a prayer on behalf of the poshei Yisrael, the evildoers, that they should do tshuva. And this is all in Eretz Yisrael. Now the rest of this Brisa is going to talk about Chutzlars. But before we get to that, he mentions here in the footnote a Yerushalmi. And he says that according to the Yerushalmi, it's not enough that he sees a specific location where the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael was uprooted, but rather, this bracha could only be recited Kishenekra Avodah Zkochov Mikol Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael was completely clean, so to say, purified of all Avodah Zarah. Avol Nekra Rak Mimokom Zeh, then he should change the nusach habracha. Instead of saying kishem shenekra mimakom, instead of saying baruch sha'akar aku me'artzenu, which implies from all of Eretz Yisrael, he should change the nusach according to the Yerushalmi, and he should say baruch sha'akar avodas kochav mimakom zeh. But the Meiri says that our Bavli is not like this Yerushalmi, because the Bavli says that his bracha should be Sha'akar Aku Me'artzenu, and then Kein Te'akar Mikol Makomos Yisrael, that we should pray that the idolatry should be uprooted from all the places in Israel. So it means that at this point in time, when he's reciting this bracha, there's still places in Israel that are pockets of idol worship. So what it means is that that there's a machlokas here between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. So it's interesting that according to the Bavli, you could have a nusach of Baruch Sha'akar Akum Me'artzenu, but it means Mimakomos Be'artzenu, because Kishem Shenekra Mimakom Zeh came to Yaakov Mikol Makomos Yisrael. Okay, now in Chutzlaretz, Ein Tzarech Lomer V'Hashev Lev Ovdeyem Li'Ovdecha. In Chutzlaretz, you don't add this prayer on behalf of the Poshim, because we pray on behalf of Poshe Yisrael. They're not the enemies of the Jewish people, but the idol worshippers of the Goyim, they are enemies of the Jewish people. So we don't want to pray on their behalf. And Ruba Ovdei Kochavim, in Chutzlaretz, I have to assume that the idol worshippers are Ovdei Kochavim. So, you know, we're imagining that in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, there are Poshe Yisrael, there are Jews who are guilty of worshipping Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. And that's, you know, whatever Avodah Zarah there is in Eretz Yisrael, we got to get rid of it, because that's Jewish Avodah Zarah. In Chutzlaretz, we're assuming that the people are, by and large, Goyim, and we're not going to pray on behalf of those evildoers in Chutzlaretz. He says in the footnote, even though Avodah Zarah is one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, which applies equally to a non-Jew, nevertheless, we're not going to be mispalel aleihem, because we have a rule, ein mispalim al ovdei kochavim. Now, I'm not sure what he means by that. Does he mean we don't pray on behalf of any non-Jew, or does he mean dafka ovdei kochavim, the idol worshippers? I would rather say we don't pray for the idol worshippers. They're sort of over the hill, over the cliff. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar has a different opinion. Af b'chutzlaretz tzarech lomar kein. Even in Chutzlaretz, we should ask Hashem Hashev Lev Avdeyem Liavdecha. Why? Mipnei Shem Asidim Lihizgayer. That these idol worshippers, at the end of days, will actually convert to Judaism. So according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we pray for these non-Jewish idol worshippers because of the future. And even though they're not converting now, that's for sure not, but it's as if they converted already, so to speak. In other words, we can anticipate that they already are converts. And he quotes a pasuk here, Shenemar Oz, Tzfanya says, Oz Efoch El Amim Sofa Brura. I'll read the end of the pasuk. It says, "Likro kulam b'shem Hashem li'avdo Shem echad." And this prophecy refers to the period of time after the Milchemes Gog Magog. I will transform the lashon of all the nations of the world. That's called Efoch Esam Sofa El what Sofa Brura to lashon Kodesh. And they'll all call out in the name of Hashem, and they'll all together in unison worship Hashem. And since the non-Jews are also asidim lizgayir, as efshal lispalel, we can daven for them, sheyashivam Hashem le'avodoso. So I'm not sure if you by chance have a footnote here. I don't have a footnote that would answer the following question. Do we believe, is this part of the faith of the Nevi'im, that every single guy is going to convert? Is that what we're saying? Or we're saying that just one percentage or one group will... Do you have any footnote on
that? This has a footnote that says that Rambam holds rules actually in... He follows Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And because this is... He thinks this is a sound reason to... So I guess I would suggest that, you know, there's... Enough of them are going to convert that it's...
Right, I'm wondering how many of them will convert. He has here a footnote in the Ein Yaakov. He says, "Masha Omru Shasidim Kol Ovde Kochavim Lizgayer Ena Kavona Shekulam Yiskablu Legerim." It's not that all of them will become Gerim. Shrei Omru, the Gemara says in Yevamos, Shebimos HaMashiach Ein Mekablim Gerim. So how do we reconcile these two things? Here we're talking about the Ovdei Kochav in the future converting, and yet the Gemara says that at the time of Mashiach we don't accept Gerim. Ela Shasidim Kol Agoyim Lavo Lizgayer, they will all be interested in converting. But
yeah. This does have a footnote also from Rambam, which says the translation of it. Sorry.
Okay, I'll just finish this one sentence. But Lo Yikablu Osam El Yasuis Atzmon Kigerim. In other words, they'll behave as if they were converted, but as the Gemara says in Yevamos, we will not accept them as Gerim. And he quotes another Gemara, La'asid Lava Umas Ha'olam Yu Gerim Grurim. So what does Grurim mean? Rashi says, She's Gairu Mi Atzmon Aval Anachnu Lo Nekabel Osam. So there's this very sensitive, complicated twilight zone here, where the goyim are going to come to me, Mizgayer, and it sounds like all of them will. They'll live like Gerim, but they don't officially get Gerim, and we're not sure why. But some Gemara, according to some Gemara, which is in Yevamos, we at the time of Mashiach, we don't accept Gerim. Hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
So this says, Rambam says, Mashiach will
instruct. What number is this, just if you don't mind? It's in English or in Hebrew?
It's in English, but
English, good. What number?
Malachim, the English is number 65.
65, go ahead.
65, sorry. Mashiach will inspire all humanity to worship God together. The occupation of the entire world will be solely that of acquiring knowledge of God. So he seems to be saying everyone will.
Right. So again, let me just repeat what I said, because I think it's very similar to what the Rambam is saying, that at the time of Mashiach, all the goyim will come to be Mizgayer, and they will live like Gerim. They will worship Hashem together, but they aren't officially Gerim. And that's based on a Gemara in Yevamos, which I'm not familiar with, but the Gemara says, Ein Mekablin Gerim Bimos HaMashiach. So he wants to reconcile these two. So it's an interesting phenomenon that the Goyim will live like Gerim, but they're not officially Gerim. A very sensitive, kind of complicated
situation. This a prerequisite? Is this something that brings about the Mashiach, or is kind of part of bringing about the Mashiach, or is this something that comes after Mashiach?
I think it comes after Mashiach. In other words, this is Mashiach's inspiration, and the reason why Rav Shimon ben Elazar wants to pray for this is because basically he's praying on behalf of Mashiach, you know, that this situation should come to fruition. And not only that, it could be that since we're not talking about official Gerus, but there is some sort of quasi-Gerus, it's a facsimile of Gerus, therefore we can pray on their behalf. So they're not exactly Goyim, they're not exactly Jews. They're in this middle stage, I don't know. You can call it a Ger Tzedek, but a Ger Toshav, but it's more than a Ger Toshav, because a Ger Toshav only observes 7 mitzvahs. Now we're talking about observing all the mitzvahs. So now let's see. Darash Rav Hemnuna, Haroev Bavel, Harashah. And now I don't think he's talking about a dream at this point. I think he's saying that he actually comes to Bavel. And Bavel is called Rasha because they were responsible for destroying our land. Tzarech levarech chamesh brachos. He has to recite 5 different brachos. Okay, then, so let's just see if he adds anything here. Just 1 second. No, he's just saying, he says he sees various sites of Bavel. Now, just to mention that the Mishnah Berurah writes that all these brachas that we're about to learn about, he should recite them as full-fledged brachos with Shem Umalchus. And it seems that this is true for all five brachos. They all have the same status. And he wants to suggest that the same thing applies to Roi Marcolis, which he said before, if you see one of their deities, one of their idols, you should make the bracha b'shem u'malchus.
That's among the brachos.
Now, I'm not sure if anyone disagrees with this, because, you know, the Gemara never actually spells this out, that you should add shem u'malchus. Anyway, that's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to hold. So let's go through the five different possible brachos that you could be reciting over here. Okay, number one, Ra Bavel, he says, Gufa shall ear. Now, do you see the city itself? Then you make the bracha, Omer Baruch Shehechriv Bavel Harishah. Now he quotes here in the footnote the Kaf HaChaim, which is like the Sephardic Mishnah Berurah, and he says Shebavel Harsha Shemavarchan Ola Nimtzeis Al Aderech Shebein Ir Bagdad BeIrak Shal Nahar Chidekel Ir Chala Shal Nahar Prot Kishatayim Lifnei HaIr Chala. He tells exactly where you're going to find these destroyed cities of Bavel.
Chala is in Syria.
I think, I don't know, I know it is Chalab. He has Chet Lamed Hei, so I'm a little confused about that. Ubermakum Ze Midubar Midvar Shmama V'yeshbo Churvos V'korino So Bavel HaYishana. It's the ancient Babylonia. So in any event, if we had a map here, Steinzel doesn't have a map. The Kaf HaChaim maps it all out. It tells you exactly where you'll find this location.
What are the names of the places?
Rab Basel Shal Nebuchadnezzar. Well, I don't know if they still know where that is today. Omer, he should be Mavar Baruch Shehechriv Basel Shal Nebuchadnezzar HaRosha.
Rav Hamuna is in Amora, I assume, right?
Yes, that is correct.
And Nebuchadnezzar was many, many, many generations before him. So,
but I'm just wondering, he says that he sees the house of Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, as if it's right there.
But then he says, the bracha is shehechriv basis. Yeah, I don't know exactly what's going on. Yeah. Is it destroyed or is it is it a museum? Raw guv shal arayos. So he sees the den of the lion's den in which Daniel was thrust into. Oh, he says, kivshana esh, where they threw Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah into the furnace. Kivshana Eish, Omer, he should say, Baruch Sha'asa Nisim Lavosenu. Again, these are all locations in Bavel. I don't know if we know exactly where they are today, but maybe if we follow the Kaf HaChaim, we'll get there.
This probably requires a B'Shem U'Malchus.
Yeah, all these brachas, according to the Mishnah Berurah, everything we're learning now requires Shem U'Malchus.
This certainly would say Shem U'Malchus. Yeah.
I don't know that anyone disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah. I haven't found anyone yet. Right. Maybe there is someone. Baruch Sha'asa Nisan Lavosenim B'Makom HaZerah Marcolis Omer Baruch Sha'asa Erech HaPayim Li'Ovrei Ritzonu Ram Makom Shenotlu Mimenu Afar. And there's a place somewhere in Bavel that they take the dirt away. Omer V'Ose Gozer U'Makayim. So on this last piece of Gemara, I have tons and tons of footnotes. So let's see, how much time do we have? We have 15 minutes. Let's see. And you'll follow your notes, so we'll be able to compare notes, literally. Because I'm sure if I have so many notes, you do as well. So he says the following. First of all, Nebuchadnezzar thrusts... I'm sorry, let's start with, we'll go back to Daniel, correct? We started with Gov Shal Arayos, Gov Shal Arayas. He says Shehishluch Oso Darius LeGov Arayas. So we're going even back earlier in time to Darius. Achar Sherosh Umispal Hashem. So this is a parsha in Daniel Perek Vav. And Darius throws Daniel, after he sees him praying, into Gov Arayos. Vinasalo Nesvelo Iziko Samarayos. By the way, I don't know if you're interested in art, but there's a very famous Rubens painting of exactly what we're learning. Very famous. I forget exactly which museum I saw it in, but it's gigantic, like all of his paintings. Anyway, now we're up to Nebuchadnezzar, and he throws Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah into the Kibshon HaEish. I'm going to keep one finger on the Gemara itself. And he says the following, Shalosh Tachva Litzelim, they refused to bow down to this idol, and they had a miracle that the furnace, the fires of the furnace, did not consume them, and that's in Daniel Perek Gimel. And Rashi mentions it here, Divrei Maskil Kivshon. The Rambam says, Ein Mevarchim Rak Al Re'iyas Mokom HaKivshon Shebo Hushlu Hananiah Mishael and Azariah, only on that Mokom. And the Bach says the same thing will apply to the Gov Shel Arayos. The Rambam didn't mention, in the case of Gov Shel Arayos, that you have to actually see that place. But nevertheless, if the Rambam says it in the case of the Kivshon HaEish of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the same thing logically should apply to the Gov Shel Arayos. Okay. So he says, Vadai Sha'af B'Gov Shel Arayos Yifareish. Rambam will interpret Shemavarchem Rak Al Guv Arayos Shehushlach Daniel Lesocho. So it's not any time you see a lion's den you make this bracha. And he quotes a whole bunch of later sources to prove this. That again, we're talking not about a Kivshon HaEish Stam, but rather this particular Kivshon HaEish, if you could find it, where Hananiah Mishael and this particular Guv Arayos where Daniel was thrust into. However, at the end of this long paragraph, he quotes a Marshal, who lived about 5 centuries ago, and he says that the Rambam only spoke about Kivshon HaEish and required that you have to find that Kivshon where Hananiah Mishael. Aval beGuv Arayos, the Rambam didn't mention that specific Guv Arayos. Is Sovar Rambam Shemvarech Al Kol Guv Shel Arayos. Wow. So now we have to figure out what's the difference between Guv Shel Arayos, where according to the Marshal's interpretation, the Rambam, any time you see a lion's den, I don't know exactly, every time you go to a zoo, I don't know, you make this bracha, but in the case of Kivshon, it's only that specific Kivshon. He says, V'asvar l'chalik b'neim hi she Guv Shel Arayos eino matsui. I don't know. Again, I don't know how many lions, minimum number of lions you Lachain b'chol guv shel arayos misorer halev al anes shenasa l'daniel. Wow, we should all be on this madrega, you know, that every time we see lions, we think of Daniel. Amal kivshon ha'eshu dover motzui. It's quite common. Rak b'mokom sheushul chanani mishon nazal kivshon ha'esh, then misorer halev al hanes. That's when he thinks about the great miracle. Now there's a third possibility here, and this is the Bach. The Bach understood in the Rosh, who says Stam without qualifying, Haroa Guv Shel Arayos Kivshon HaEish Mevarech. So the Bach says Kol Guv Shel Arayos Uba Kol Kivshon HaEish Mevarech. Once again, I don't know what exactly would be a Kivshon HaEish. I mean, I don't know. Have I ever seen such a gigantic furnace? I don't know.
This cites the Shulchan Aruch, so apparently there's a halacha on this, so I wonder what the Shulchan Aruch says.
Which one of the three opinions, yeah. I don't have access to the Mishnah Berurah here, although probably somewhere in the back of this gigantic Gemara, he probably has it here in one of these various sections in the back.
I think I have.
Okay, so let's talk about Baruch Sha'asa Nisim Lavosenu B'Mokom HaZeh. All the Rishonim, all the Poskim, Rishonim, say that Mevarech Sha'asa Nisim Latzadikim. So their girsa is different than ours. We don't have the word Latzadikim. And the Gra also says we have to change the text of our Gemara. It should read Tzadikim. But the Rashash says that our girsa is the correct girsa. and he bases himself on a Gemara back on Daf Tez Zayin Amid Beis, Shelo Nikru Avos Rak Avram Yitzchak VeYaakov. In other words, when it says Baruch She'asan Nisim LaAvosenu, there's no need to add the word Tzaddikim, because Avosenu here is a reference to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He says, Yeshlom Shemasha Omer Shalom Nikra Avos El Shlosha Hainu Rak She Hakavonehi Liav Hamolid Belo Hakavone Loshon Chashivus. In other words, these are called our forefathers because all the generations come from them. Shekein motzinu sha'omru av b'loshon mushal al moshlim. Sometimes we use the word av to refer to leaders that control the people. They have dominion over people. V'yal neviim v'al tzedikim v'chachomim v'daniel hayo moshel novi. And Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah are Moslim v'tzadikim v'shayach lomar aleim loshen av. So when it says here Shebarach she'asan nisim la'avosenu, so it's referring to all these greats that we saw before, and each one of them are called avosenu, even though lo nikru avos el shlosha, that's in terms of tolada, that we're all descendants. But as far as chashivas is concerned, the word avosenu refers to any one of these greats, Nevi'im and Moshlim, these giants that amongst our earlier generations that had these miracles. Now, he quotes another Yerushalmi. We had already Yerushalmi before, and the Yerushalmi says that Al Nes Shenasil Yochid, if the miracle transpired for the benefit of an individual, not for the greats that we spoke about before, Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, Azariah, then the Yochid himself makes the bracha when he sees that place where he experienced the miracle, but no one else makes the bracha. But as far as the Nisim of Daniel and Hanan, Mishael, Azariah, that already relates to all of Klali, so that's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, he says, and therefore everybody, all of Klal Yisrael, make that bracha.
Yeah. This is the Shulchan Aruch.
Al Nes Shel Odom Mesuyon. Oh, Niskari Shem Shemayin. It's Mamash. I was just reading that. Mevarech Lefichach Harogu. Oh, Guvarai Shel Daniel. So he's not like the Bach, you know, in the Rosh. He's saying like the Rambam that it's got to be the Guvarai Shel Daniel. Oh, and then he says, "V'kiv shana eish al Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah." So that's a machlokas in the Rambam. I had to interpret the Rambam because the Rambam never actually says that it's the guva. It's the kiv shana eish of Chananya. No, on the contrary, I'm the other way around. Like the machlokas is about if you see stam a guv shall arise. He's saying guv shall arise shall Daniel, and mevarech shall osa nes la tzaddikim. Oh, he has the word tzaddikim. Okay. So that's what we have here. Note li misham afal letit lebinyani amakom mishum she'ino makom yishu. Fine.
The Girsos here does, says the same thing. In the Tzaviyad you have nisim la the tzaddikim.
Right.
This
two Girsos. Like
Hagahos and Hagra.
Correct. The gra. That's what I said 5 minutes ago.
The Rosh, right? Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
All right, let's go on. Rava ki havi chazi chamre deshakli afra. When he saw chamorim, these are people that are, you know, they transport dirt from one place to the other. And when he saw them, just 1 second, just to see here, he says, oh, he says that these are not the transporters, but he sees the donkeys, the chamorim. Not the way I said it. I thought he's talking about the people. He's talking about the donkeys themselves. So they're carrying offer from Bavel. I don't know. It says Mimakom. So I lost the place there for a second. Shenotlim, from the place where they take earth. And he says that's a place in Bavel. An animal cannot leave unless some of the place's earth is put on it. I guess those are the laws in Bavel. Or perhaps it's a place from which earth was quarried to be used in the construction of buildings, and that place remains devoid of habitation and agricultural activity. He says this in the Hebrew, Roch Hamorim, shall you know Simisa'a from Yosomakom, from that area in Bavel, which was desolate, is Taraf Luhu Yod Al Gabayu, Hoyamakish Bi Yodo Al Gabam, so he would sort of smack the donkeys with on their backs with his hand, the Omar, and I guess he would declare, Rehutu tzaddike lemevad reuso lemaraychu. Run, O righteous ones, to perform the will of your master. Rutsu tzaddikim lasos ritzon konechem. V'yomar, he said that the tzaddikim should run to fulfill the will of their Father in heaven. Mar berei d'ravina, havishokil ki havimoti lebavel, when he came to Bavel, havishokil afra bisudre, he would gather up some of the earth and put it into his kerchief, his turban, vishodi libra, and he would take it out of Bavel. Wow, this is wild. We usually think of taking offer from Eretz Yisrael. He's talking about taking offer from Bavel and throwing it outside of the boundaries of Bavel. Kayim Hashanera, to fulfill what Yeshayahu Hanavi says. I'll read the whole pasuk. V'samtia lemorash kipod v'agme moyim v'tatasi b'matate hashmad. Okay, let's read the English translation of this heavy Aramaic here. He says the following. He says that I will sweep it clean with the broom of destruction. So this is not Aramaic, this is Hebrew, my mistake. So I will sweep it clean with the broom of destruction. It was sort of like, we're sort of implementing the Nevuah of Yeshayah. Right? Yeshayah says that God will sweep up with the broom of destruction this area of Bavel, and we're going to actually play that out. In other words, we're going to do it the way Hashem would do it. Omer of Ashi, Ano Hod Rav Hamnuna Lo Shmile. I never heard these words of Rav Hamnuna about the five different brachos Elamidaiti, but I came up with this idea on my own. Rafthiel Lekulha, I made all these five brachos. So he says in the footnote, of Ashi Birechosom Midaito, but below Shemu Malchus. He didn't know that this was a separate takona, the Ashi Knesset Hagdola. So he left out Shemu Malchus, but I guess now that he found out that it was based on Rav Hamnuna, that this was an official takona, he would recite the Brachu Shemu Malchus. Let's turn to Nunches Omnalf, we'll finish up very quickly. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Niskalila Bavel, there was a klala on Bavel who was cursed, and not only that, but niskalalu shcheineha, and this is the principle called oyla rasha oyla shcheino, that when a rasha gets smitten, so then even in shcheinim, I guess if they have some connection to him and they're in close proximity, is oyla rasha oyla shcheino, they too will suffer as a result. He says in the footnote here that when it comes to Klal Yisrael, if Klal Yisrael will suffer evil, Eino Rabi Etzem, it's not real evil. Tova Hilahem, God is bringing about evil in order to cleanse them of their sins, and therefore it will not impact on the Shechinim. So Oy L'Rosh Al Shechin only applies to Goyim according to this opinion. And therefore, in contrast, he says Niskalala Shomron, which is the Malchus, that's the capital city of the Ten Shvatim, and he hoisa hasibo lepishias aseres ashvatu chay nigzar lesha techarev. I guess Shomron was the real root of the evil, and these areas were completely destroyed. He says, Nisbarchu l'shcheinecha. This klala will somehow generate a bracha for the shcheinim. And how do we know this? From the psukim. So let's start with the resha. The first statement is niskalala bavel niskalu shcheinecha. How do we derive that conclusion? Dichsiv, it says in Yeshayahu Anavi, v'samtil morash kipo v'agne moy. Let's just read the exact translation. He says that I, meaning God, will make her, meaning Babylonia, the estate of wild birds and pools of water, which means that wild birds will inhabit the wasteland that will become Bavel. And this in turn will ravage the neighboring areas. So these wild birds and pool of water, that's going to impact in the areas around, in close proximity. Niskala Shomron, Nisbarchu Shcheineha. However, when Shomron was cursed, then her neighbors were blessed. The Kiksiv, and now he quotes a pasuk in Micha, V'samti Shomron Le'i, I will place this area called Shomron as a heap in the field, I hasadeh, limata e kerem, a place for planting vineyards. So it means after the destruction of Shomron, which is being foretold here by the Navi, and Shomron will now be full of stones as a result of the churban of Shomron, there won't be any population living there, no yishuv, but they will plant vineyards there, and the neighbors will benefit from these vineyards. So this is the Maila of Shomron that's mentioned here, Befish Chenel Letova. And the neighbors will sort of praise Shomron because of the ultimate blessing that they experience. Okay then, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much.